And four Easter services, we had 75 people here. Not all at once, but over the course of getting them all together. And that's good. Of course, our morning Easter Sunday worship, as one person told me, kind of sad. We had a lot of empty room, a lot of empty space. And so it was interesting watching what happened all around where things are happening in Sri Lanka. Several thousand Christians had gathered for Easter services, and some vicious, cruel animals of people decided to bomb them in suicide bombings. Several injured, several hundred harmed, and much loss of life. I think what was just as disturbing as the loss of life was that some of the major politicians in America would not refer to that as Muslims killing Christians. They referred to them as Easter worshipers. And both of them had the same misspelling for the word worshipers in their tweets. So it's not like, you know, they can say all they want to. They don't take it from some kind of common place. But, you know, if you're going to copy someone else's tweet, at least spell words right. Easter worshipers is a terrible word for it. They're not worshiping Easter. They were Christians worshiping Jesus at Easter time. And when the Muslim mosques were bombed or shot up in New Zealand, they're very quick to say that as Muslims who were harmed, and their hearts went out to the whole Muslim community in the world, and I agree with that sentiment. But when Christians are bombed, you ought to say Christians are harmed and bombed, and our hearts go out to the entire Christian world. And I think that politicians who cannot call Christians Christians and misspell the word worshipers and Easter worshipers, I think that ought to tell you more about their lack of character than anything else does. So what happened at Easter? Let me tell you what Rob Landry says about the Vietnamese church in Tucson. He says, we had 5 baptisms, 3 salvations, and 1 rededication, worshiping in 3 different languages. Makes for 1 great Sunday. I'm glad I'm friends with Rob Landry. I like friends like that. So, you look through the course of the world. Yesterday, tragedy at a Jewish synagogue in Poway, California. You know, it's getting dangerous to tell people you love God and trust God. And so I want to look at a little bit for the next few weeks about who we are. And the scripture says that I am a child of God. And we look at some great things happening. Rejoice with Rob over that kind of a wonderful Easter Sunday at the Vietnamese church. Rob doesn't speak Vietnamese. His wife is Yaki. She speaks Yaki, Spanish, and English. Neither one of them speak Vietnamese, but he's preaching at the Vietnamese church and being translated into Vietnamese. And God is at work. That's amazing. I'm a child of God. I want you to find with me John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Psalmist said something like that about God being a light and illuminating. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. But he came into his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. First thing he says is that the light shines for all. Jesus Christ is light in a dark place. Sometimes the dark place is a place of your own creation. Sometimes the dark place is a place of the world coming around you. Sometimes the dark place is the result of the violence and agitation of others. But the light of Jesus Christ shines for all. A light coming into the world enlightens everyone. That's what the Scripture says. Remember when you were a kid and you got your first flashlight? Okay. Nowadays, these kids have phones and the flashlight's on their phone. Okay. But remember when you were a kid and you got one of them great big D-cell flashlights? And your parents would tell you to turn the lights out, but you could read your comic books under your covers with your flashlight. And then you're doing that for a little bit, and then you're a little kid with an overactive imagination because you're reading your comic books, and all of a sudden you hear something. You may be hearing it here on mine, but you slip out from under the covers and you shine that flashlight under your bed. And you see all kinds of things under your bed that you didn't know were under your bed. About that time, your mom comes in the room. What are you doing? Get back in bed. Give me that flashlight. Make you get rid of the comic books under your covers. And go to sleep. But the way that you had that light and you could shine it on things. Dad was working on the car at night, trying to get the car fixed so he'd go to work the next morning. He says, "Brian, come out and hold the light for me." That lasted about 30 seconds. Get my older brother, come out, hold the light for him. Why? Because Dad kept saying, "Brian, the light is for me to see what I'm doing, not for you to see whatever you want to look at." Because he gave me that one. Squirrel! You know, just... If I had the light in my hands, it shined where I wanted to see things. But Jesus came, and he was the light for all, illuminating for everybody. And then the Scripture said that many rejected him. He was in the world. You know, he was around walking the dusty streets of Judah and Judea. And the world didn't know him. He created it, but they didn't know who he was. And so he came to his own people. And they didn't have a clue who he was. Every year that we've gone to the Steely family reunion, it's always interesting to watch the lady with the name tags, because if somebody's there for the first time and she doesn't know who they are, you have to take a few minutes to explain to them who they are and why they're there and who they're related from and who they're descended from. And so she can make their name tag to say which part of the family they're from. Came to his own, but his own didn't know him. There wasn't a name tag prepared for him. There wasn't knowledge of who he was. And many rejected him. You know, Jesus is still being rejected. empty seats than people. Not just in this church. But folks are saying, well, I don't want to identify with Jesus. I don't want to claim him. I don't want to be known as one of his followers. I just want to live my life in peace. And here comes Jesus. And I'm not sure who he is. Many still reject him. But then, it says, to as many as received him. To as many as received him. You know, we haven't had a door-to-door salesman since we moved out to Syria. You know, our gates are usually closed. We don't have a dog now, but used to have a dog. And our dogs weren't real happy about people they didn't know coming to the door. And where we live, there's not a lot of door-to-door salesmen. But when we lived in Yuma, we would have door-to-door salesmen. Because we were in an actual neighborhood where houses were close to each other. And there wasn't a fence up in front of the front door. And so they'd come knocking on the door. And what would you do when a door-to-door salesman comes to your door? You can try ignoring it, but he knows you're in there. And so he'll just knock louder. And you say, go away. And sooner or later, you're going to open that door. But you don't open it up all the way because you know it's a door-to-door salesman. So you just open it up a little bit. And you say, go away. And he says, but I've got this wonderful offer for you. Go away. I'm not interested. All kind of things we say. Folks think that's so weird. Wait till a telemarketer calls. And you answer the phone. Have I got a deal for you? Go away. Stop calling me. Leave me alone. We're not receiving them. We're not inviting them in. We're not taking advantage of the wonderful offer they have to revolutionize our life and world. Jesus said, as many as received him. That means they open the door. That means they say, come on in. That means they say, welcome. Now, we do have kids and friends and grandkids that come by. And, you know, they don't even get to the point where they knock on the door, because as soon as they drive up, we go ahead and open the door. And they come in and we receive them. To as many as received him, even to those who believe on his name. They believe the gospel. They believe that he died on the cross for our sin. They believe that he was buried. They believe that he rose again. And that he's coming back. To as many as believed on his name, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, to them he gave the gift to become the children of God. Child of God. We had a fellow that's been coming to our recovery group for quite a while. First time I talked to him, he said, they've taken my kids away. I want you to pray that I get my kids back. And it's been a couple of years. He stopped by the office this week. He says, I want to introduce you to my sons. And this one little boy just kind of puffed up and says, that's my dad. He became children of the Father again. They recognize what it means to be a child of the Father. Everyone who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the gift to become the children of God.
That's my dad. That's my father. Jesus referred to the Lord as Abba, Father. That's my dad. I get to become a child of God. He said, born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. That new birth experience is where God brings you out of death into life. And you become a child of God.
I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, little Charlie and Matthew had been foster kids at the Tatums. And Billy and Julia were going to adopt them. And we talked to them at Pastor's Palace one time, and I think it was Charlie said, on Thursday this week, I'm going to get to become a Tatum. And he was excited about it. And the next Sunday, he told us all about going to court and becoming a Tatum. And little Matthew said, it's a few months for me yet, but soon I'm going to get to be a Tatum. A child of parents that love them and care for them, and a new chance and a new life and a family of love and compassion and concern. You want to see one of Shaddy's favorite pictures? Adoption Day for his kids.
Beautiful. What about that Adoption Day for us into the family of God? I am a child of the King. A child of God. I trusted Him. I believed Him. He took my sins away. He brought me new life. And I am a child of God. He created children of God.
So whether I'm sitting in a large Catholic church in Sri Lanka, worshiping God in languages you and I can't understand, and the bombs go off, and the bodies are torn apart, and the destruction is in front of our face, or we're at the Vietnamese church in Tucson, Arizona, in three different languages, and people are being saved. Or we're at Sarita Baptist Church where the sun is shining on sunrise service. And we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God.
To as many as received Him, even to those who believe on His name, He gave the gift to become the children. If you have not accepted that gift, please, right now, this day, accept that gift. If you have never shared that gift, please, this week, share that gift. That someone else may know that you are a child of God. Let's pray.
Father, please hear our prayer. Please use us. Please help us to let the world know that we are the child of God. For it's in His name we pray.